It's another hour of the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Solid first hour behind us. Much more quality content on the way. 20 minutes talking NBA with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report. What do we make of Russell Westbrook testing positive for COVID-19 in terms of the implications for the Rockets in the seeding games? And then it's on to the postseason, that quick transition from effectively the preseason to the playoffs. If anybody can shake off the effects of a disease that, if you know anybody who's been touched by the virus, they tell you it just wears you out. It zaps you. It's Russ. And how do we interpret the absence of James Harden from Orlando? I'm not suggesting there's anything there, but that story is floating around social media. However, correlation is not causation, as we get deep for the start of the second hour. Go back to Kawhi Leonard being unavailable to join the Clippers when they traveled as a team to Orlando. The explanation given by the Clips was he was dealing with a family situation, a personal issue. It was a personal issue. So sometimes we look for stories that are not there. Coming up, we're talking Tiger Woods. 1-800-636-8686. Tweets have been phenomenal, as always. Maintain that momentum. Hashtag it JTP. Emails, rome@haveatake.com. We have a Bella B in Calgary email. Does she know that Ask the Pros was yesterday and typically at the end of the program? But I'll play along because she is a loyal clone and very kind on social media. Hi, Brian. Hypothetically speaking, let's say you were forced to stay inside our bubble, this studio with Hawk, Alvy, Ritt, and James Kennedy for an entire week. Who leaves the CBS bubble for food? Wore a tennis Tinder match for you and Hawk.
War Lady Clone.
I would crush Hawk. No question about it. You don't get to work for Tennis Channel for 12 years. I'll be entering the U.S. Open bubble coming up at the end of August. Yes, I can fit through the door. Part of the broadcast team, the international broadcast. So Hawk can be a Roger Federer hustling people on the mean streets in the public courts of Orange County. Somebody with a country club background like yours truly would wear you out. I'll get you on clay. Who's getting the food? Well, if we send Ritt, it's all garbage, right? I mean, I don't want to have a Snickers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I would trust Alvin always. I think if we sent James Kennedy out there with cash, he'd find a card room if there are any open in Southern California. James Kelly, thank you very much. As Adam Hawk reminds me, it is Southern California morning time slot. I know James Kelly. I work with James Kelly. I'm thinking of a character on a popular reality show. Yes, I know. Big forehead, the flight deck, etc. Anyway, I was doing a bit here. Thank you. Put that on the best of archive reel for the fill-in guy. My man, JK. He would spend the money because he's a degenerate gambler, and Hawk would blow it all on tennis equipment. So we're not sending anyone out of our bubble. We're looking for your tweets with your biggest vice throughout the quarantine. Bruiser K, my vice during this time is Caribbean jerk wings from Buffalo Wild Wings, washed down with Jack Daniels and Sunkist. Bruiser K, eating to win like yours truly. And we got a fact check from the great Rich Ackerman. I threw a Baskerville Holmes reference out there in the first hour. Played for Memphis, not Louisville. Back in the day when it was Memphis State, Keith Lee, and the rest of the game. Thank you, Rich. He's listening as he gets ready for his update at the bottom of the hour. So just to confirm, you're Aaron Hawk. You're Gary Rich, whatever, Alvin. I've been watching a lot of reality television. Plus, James has not been here. So if you're not in front of me as a narcissist, I don't know who the hell you are. But at least he got his first name right. Thank you for listening, Adam. Well, since I've established that I need an ombudsperson to clean up all of the mess that I make as I go along, I'm talking Tiger Woods. And in this studio, there's one man who is the preeminent Eldritch scholar. It's Adam Hawk, if that's his name. So when I get through my perspective, if we have a moment or two, Adam will come on and tell me that I was entirely wrong. So we have golf back, but it's not really back unless Tiger is playing. Because I could talk about Bryson DeChambeau hulking up, looking like the ultimate warrior, crushing the ball. He's also the mad scientist, looking after every piece of data like a win vector to help him win, but none of you would care. Undeniably, Tiger Woods remains bigger than the sport. Back on tour for the first time, playing competitively since February. That is major headline news, and I don't care that we saw him on the Match 2. That made-for-TV event I thought was a waste of time. If we didn't have Peyton Manning cracking jokes like he was at Giggles in Atlantic City and Charles Barkley carrying most of the action verbally, that thing would have been even more dreadful to watch. Although I guess Tom Brady's magic pajamas haven't helped him become a better golfer. But we have Tiger to appreciate this week, and he's playing in a glamour grouping with Rory and Brooks Koepka Thursday and Friday at the Memorial, where Tiger has been dominant playing at Jack's event. He's won it 5 times. He also has history on the line. Tiger Woods is victorious this weekend, and you'll see full weekend coverage on CBS. He moves past Sam Snead and has sole possession of the career record for most tournament victories. But it's all about Tiger and majors at this stage of his career, and it's a nice piece of symmetry that he's playing at Jack Nicklaus's event, because Tiger's entire life, not just adult life, going back to when his old man put a putter in his hands and had him putting against Bob Hope on the Mike Douglas show, Tiger's been consumed by one number, the number of major championships. Jack's sitting on 18. He's been in the clubhouse since he won his final major at the age of 46 in 1986 at Augusta National. So Tiger is back because with this truncated golf schedule this year, we're closing in on the first major of the year, PGA Championship, Harding Park in San Francisco. Tiger presumably knows that course well because he went to college at Stanford about 45 minutes away. So I'm not going to try to focus on Tiger's odds of winning this. My close personal friend James Kelly will break down all of the teaser, under, over, and prop bets with me on my podcast on the links with B-Web. Download that wherever you get your favorite podcast. But I think there are a couple wrinkles worth tracking when we get to round one on Thursday. Because remember, the Memorial was supposed to be the first PGA Tour event with fans allowed back on the course. But because, unfortunately, we continue to have major issues with the virus, the good people in Ohio said no gallery at the Memorial. So, with no fans surrounding Tiger, without the normal thousands of people shadowing every move, warning to every photographer out there, if you're following Tiger, you got to be very careful because there's no cheering from the fans to cover up the sound of Tiger with his backswing being at the same time as you taking that picture, because we know Tiger demands complete silence when he's addressing the ball.
Not in my swing.
So watch out. If you're walking around with a camera in Ohio, Tiger's got his eye on you. And no fans on the course means those of us at home will be able to hear every syllable that is a PG-13 the Tiger belts out when he hits a shot he doesn't like.
God!
Oh, well. Well, no more commentary necessary.
That made my commentary look pretty mild.
Tiger could provide his own analysis when we watch round one coming up on Thursday. But beyond what's looming on the golf course, I think there's a far more intriguing event coming up at the end of the year. HBO announcing they're producing a comprehensive documentary on Tiger Woods, with the key word being it's unauthorized. He does not have editorial control. And you could be thinking, wait a minute, I just sat through The Last Dance, which was stellar filmmaking, but you can't call that a documentary, right? Yes, the game footage was incredible. The stories told were something, especially if you're from the 80s and 90s, a reminder of how great the NBA was back in the day. But it wasn't the complete story. Because Tiger Woods, as the executive producer of his own life, if he were to put together a Last Dance like Michael Jordan did, Tiger would tell a story that was as sanitized as the Last Dance was. Did you notice we did not hear from Michael Jordan's ex-wife throughout the entirety of that series? Why? Jordan nixed it. So while it was terrific TV, it was essentially propaganda. Well, because Tiger Woods is not the executive producer and can't control what HBO is going to put out, with this project being led by Alex Gibney. If you know anything about film, you know his terrific resume. It's not going to be the same tired homage to Tiger that The Last Dance was to Michael Jordan. This project has interviews with guys like Stevie Williams. We've heard from his former caddy before, but that relationship has gotten tense at times. Steve wrote a book describing working for Tiger was, quote, and these are his words, not mine, it was like I was his slave. Maybe Steve is going to have some stories to tell. But the major get, the interview that's going to generate the headlines, is going to be with Rachel Yucatel. Uh-oh. That name should ring a bell because she was the first of a long list of people romantically linked to Tiger when his personal life fell apart in 2009. So much has happened since that weekend involving the Thanksgiving holiday that there's no need to do a full Tiger reset. It's gratuitous to mention the wait staff at Perkins. We'll keep moving here. But what I want to find out from this documentary, is there a side of Tiger that he's still not revealing to us? Because I think the one positive of the meteoric rise and giant collapse has been he's been more vulnerable. He's been more human. He's been more open. Yeah, when he addresses the media in Ohio, we might get robotic Tiger who says nothing and sounds pre-programmed.
The golf course looks bad. My golf swing feels bad. I don't like my chances.
Make no mistake about it, Tiger Woods is solely responsible for his biggest issue. Before his personal life imploded because of the decisions that he made, he had won 14 majors. The question wasn't if he was going to blow past Jack and get to the all-time record. The question was how much separation would be created between Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. Would Tiger get to 20 majors? 22? Was 25 a realistic goal? Well, all of that changed because primarily he tried to be the Hugh Hefner of golf and was either too cheap or too oblivious to buy a stack of burner phones to keep in touch with all the people he was canoodling with, leaving voicemails like this.
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and maybe calling you. So if you can, please take your name off that and just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. That's it. Okay, you got to do this for me. Huge, quickly. All right, bye.
Hope it was worth it, Tiger. Because if he was the EP of this documentary coming up, that would not make air. Just like nothing salacious about Michael Jordan was part of The Last Dance. Still, we all live vicariously through these athletes, and I know many of you live and die with every moment on the course put together by Tiger Woods. Looking forward to seeing him play on Thursday, but I think the career arc is more fascinating than any of his achievements. To me, doesn't matter when he blows past Sam Snead and has the all-time record for PGA Tour victories. Does he really have a shot at surpassing Jack and getting to at least 18 majors at a time? Or could he string together the most remarkable run we've ever seen in pro golf? That's all secondary. I want to get a sense of the real Tiger Woods because I don't think we've ever been allowed that access. And perhaps this unfiltered documentary coming up at the end of the year will give us that view. I have a feeling that somebody on the other side of the glass is going to disagree with that opinion. So let's bring in the biggest Tiger Woods fan there is, the executive producer. What's your name? Adam Hawk. Adam, was I unfair to Tiger Woods? I tried to create the overall narrative, but I took a couple shots along the way.
Yeah, I think what you need to say, honestly, is that the fact that this guy is still competing at the level that he's competing at, which he is number 14 in the entire world right now, is remarkable. The guy's had five back surgeries, one of the craziest personal scandals to ever happen. He was written off as dead. And if you look back to the calendar year of 2019, he won the Masters. He won the Zozo, which people don't talk about enough, but that tied Sam Snead at 82 wins. And then he went on as a rookie player captain at the President's Cup, won that event, and went 3-0 in the matches that he played. He had an unbelievable 2019. And in 2020, he's played in three events. He's made every cut, and he's had two top tens and one top five. Now he's going to Ohio, where he's won five times. He loves that place. And he's got a chance to pass Sam Snead, which would be unbelievable considering he went 5 years without winning a single event. And all these majors are coming up. And if he stays healthy, I mean, not only is he going to pass Sam, but he could pass Jack. And listen, 2 years ago, we were talking about this guy never, ever, ever playing again. So to me, the scandal has been covered ad nauseum. Armin Katayan wrote a fantastic book on it, did a podcast here with us. That was great. We know that stuff, or the people that want to know that stuff know that stuff. To me, it's about the fact that he's into his mid-40s right now. He's a top 15 golfer in the world and could potentially go down historically as the greatest ever with no debate after passing Sam and after passing Jack. And that, to me, is unbelievable. Love
that. Wake up!
That was the most intelligent thing I've ever heard you say on or off the air.
Thank you. We're talking Tiger. Take. You know, people forget he's from here. He's from Cyprus.
He's from Southern California.
He's from right down the road. I wish that he paid more of an homage to his Southern California roots because he gets way too much Florida credit and honks Florida way too hard. But he's a California kid, and I absolutely love that he is still in the mainstream golf conversation when anyone that went through what he went through, and yes, a lot of it was self-inflicted.
All of it was self-inflicted
other
than the injuries.
The injury stuff. Those injuries would have sunk a normal person.
Okay, but go back to 2009. He had 14 majors then. He couldn't keep it in his pants and destroyed his own career and his marriage.
Temporarily.
How many years was the fallout connected to that?
Quite a while. Okay. And the fact that he's back and he won at Augusta just last April.
Was
he is
remarkable.
The defending Masters champ right now.
I understand.
That's present tense.
Okay. But I'll take you back to 2009, and I don't want to know what you were doing then. He was going to get to 20, 25 majors. The injuries, yes, beyond his control. But the fact that he made a series of terrible decisions and was motivated by his most base instinct, and maybe that makes him human. Maybe that makes him relatable to all of us. But when we think that someone's transcendent and he had the ability to be unique on the all-time scoreboard, I felt like he threw it away for reasons that made no sense.
He definitely threw away a large part of his career, and he could be way further along than he is right now. But what the documentary will tell you, because it's based off of Armin's book that we all watch on HBO, is that this guy, from a very, very young age, was not crafted to be a normal human being. If you put a putter in your kid's hands at the age of two, put him on TV, compare him to the Dalai Lama and Nelson Mandela, and you hype this kid beyond all belief, then send him to Stanford and insulate him from the real world, and then he comes out with all these expectations. Like, the expecting Tiger Woods to be a normal human being is so stupid, in my opinion. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm calling Tiger to be a normal after his upbringing and his life in the golf world and being bigger than Michael Jordan for most of his career and actually learning how to be a D-bag from Michael Jordan.
So blame Jordan. But that was not covered in The Last Dance. Finally, because we got to go, I can blame Stanford then for all of my flaws and all the problems
I've
had.
Do it. Blame everybody.
Okay.
But the fact that Tiger Woods is in this conversation in 2020 is unbelievable.
Who can I blame for forgetting James Kelly's name?
No, I love that you went Vanderpump Rules and
twice
called him James Kennedy.
I know his name!
This is the second time you've brought up Vanderpump Rules on this show. Maybe Jax Taylor will start tweeting us again. I know Jax is listening.
You know, we had a perfect hour. I'm humming along. I got all this stuff mapped out. And then I forget James Kelly's name.
That's fine. You're right. He hasn't been here in 2 weeks, so who cares?
Show business.
You can
baby.
Be my wingman anytime.
Live radio. Okay, I have destroyed the clock. Thank you, Adam. Normally, we are contentious and just rip each other apart. That was an intelligent golf conversation, which I'm sure has destroyed the program. I know James Kelly's name. I want your biggest vice that you have been grappling with throughout the quarantine, and we're talking NBA. What does Russell Westbrook's positive test for COVID-19 mean for the rest of the league? Checking in with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report. You're in the jungle. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber having a great time with you in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. The phone number is 1-800-636-8686. Twitter, BW Weber. The thread throughout the program today, your biggest vice that you've been wrestling with throughout the quarantine. Keep those tweets coming. It is BW Weber, Weber with two B's. Let's expand the conversation. Talk NBA with a longtime friend. It's Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report. Eric, I was on the air yesterday when we found out, thanks to his post on social media, that Russell Westbrook had tested positive for COVID-19. What do you think the implication of that news is for the rest of the NBA?
Well, I would say that Russell Westbrook and James Harden were diagnosed before they went into the bubble. So it was expected. The numbers that the NBA came up with were a little bit higher than the general population, but not outrageous. And they have a couple of players who were actually diagnosed in the bubble, but that's it out of about 300, I think 24 players. So here's hoping, you know, it's a risk. They know that this is not a bulletproof plan. There's no way to guarantee in this world that anything happens, right? But they're going to do their best to make it work. I would love to get Russell Westbrook, James Harden back to health and see that great crazy Rockets experiment where they don't play anyone taller than, what, 6'6", or something like that. It would be great to see, you know, that they're a fun team. They're dangerous. I hope the players are, you know, Russ and James are get through it very quickly and healthy. It doesn't tend to impact athletes, young, you know, players in great condition at the same level as others. So just hoping they get through that really quickly and safely.
Eric, we know James Harden's not in Orlando either. Have we gotten official confirmation from the Rockets he's tested positive, just like Westbrook?
You know, I'd have to check if they put a release out on that. From what I understand, both of them do. I know that's what was announced. I don't recall if they officially announced it or not. You know, there are a lot of issues as far as privacy and whatnot, and they're not under any sort of obligation to let the public know specifically. It's really up to the players, sort of green light that they're going to, you know, put that out there. But it's pretty clear, like when a team is without a player,
sure,
if they're not going to announce it, they'll just say they didn't travel with the team to Orlando. Well, there's a reason for that.
Yeah, and I mentioned that in the first hour, but I wanted to make sure we had validity, understanding, HIPAA concerns, and privacy, and the rest. Talking Hoops with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report. Many of us are desperate for basketball of any kind. Very excited. The sport is almost back. What's your outlook for the quality of play in the seeding game? Is it going to feel like the preseason, players shaking off rust?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. I haven't played since March. Some players haven't had access to a basket. I think that was pretty well known for Giannis of the Bucks, that he didn't have a hoop. I mean, how do you – you can only practice so much. I'm lucky we have a little driveway. We got a nice hoop up on the garage. So, you know, during this time off, we're still getting some shots up. But I'm not an NBA player. I expect shooting to be down, turnovers high. They're going to be rusty. And some teams are going to have to come out playing really well really quickly. All those teams on the bubble, like the Blazers and the Pelicans, the Grizzlies – all those teams that are fighting for a playoff position, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, they're pretty well situated. The Bucks, where they're not, as long as they win a couple of games, they're not really going to lose any playoff position. And we don't really even know what they get specifically as far as home court advantage that benefits them. So I think those teams, the veteran teams, the top teams, will take it pretty slowly, work their guys in, just like preseason. Probably play deep benches, get everybody some time, And then as it gets closer and closer, the last couple of seeding games probably play a more realistic rotation. By the time you get into the playoffs, you're going full bore. But again, that doesn't apply to the Blazers and the Spurs and the Kings and even the Suns. All those teams that are trying to get in, what on the East, it's the Wizards and the Magic, although I think the Wizards are a long shot. But you just have to get within four games of that team to force a play-in tournament, just a quick one-shot or two-shot opportunity to get in and be that eighth seed. So I look forward to it. I mean, basketball, it's going to be great to watch. It's going to be fun. It's just not going to be like the best basketball you've ever seen, at least not until probably second round, third round, then it'll probably pick up and players will have gotten their timing and their win back by then.
Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report, is our guest on CBS Sports Radio. Eric, you're based here in Southern California, know the Lakers very well. As their issues continue to mount, Avery Bradley opted out, Rajon Rondo broke his thumb. What's the outlook for Anthony Davis getting set to compete on the biggest postseason stage of his career?
Yeah, he's been great in the playoffs, but he's never had the team around him. So it's always been one round, maybe two rounds, where he's playing out of his mind. But he's never been at this kind of level where you're in the conference finals, you're in the NBA finals. And that's a difficult test for any player. The greatest players of all time have struggled, in their first attempts. Obviously, Magic Johnson is probably that exception when he came in as a rookie and did crazy things and started us at center down the stretch of that series. I think Anthony Davis will be fine. He'll have some moments of great success. He'll also have, I think, some moments of failure, and not in a devastating way, but this is a new frontier for him. It doesn't matter how great you are. There are certain steps of development and knowledge that you have to get. They will miss Avery Bradley. He's a really aggressive on-ball defender. The way they play, he's really enabled to go after the guy with the ball and just try to get in his jersey, and doesn't have to worry about the player getting by him, because you've got AD behind you, you've got JaVale McGee, you've got Dwight Howard. Losing Rondo and Avery, that becomes sort of a problem, because if I'm any team playing against the Lakers, I'm guarding them full court. I'm going to make it really hard for them to just dribble the ball up court, because they don't have a lot of ball handling.
Eric, got about a minute left, so let's wrap it up with your view of the East. Giannis and the Bucks deserve to be the favorites in that conference, although I'm wondering, does he have enough health with guys like Chris Middleton, Eric Bledsoe as part of the supporting cast? How much are you buying the depth of the Celtics? How hard are they going to be knocked out when we start playing playoff basketball?
Well, I mean, Boston's great. I'm not going to discount the Raptors at all. They lost Kawhi Leonard. But they have that institutional knowledge of how to win at the highest level, and we don't know that the Bucks can do that, because they haven't shown that they can. Same with the Celtics. I mean, that franchise obviously has a great history, but these players it's a really solid team. They have a lot to prove. I don't know who's coming out of the East. I'm going to put the Bucks as the favorite, but I think of all the other teams, we could talk about Philly and some of these other squads that are definitely legit. I think the real threat to Milwaukee is Toronto.
Eric, always a pleasure, and thank you for the brevity. You did it right on time. Appreciate the insights. Stay safe, and look forward to chatting with you again here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Eric Pincus, Bleacher Report. You see him on NBA TV. I'm Brian Weber, in for Jim Rome. Just one more guest along the way. About an hour from now, we'll get back to the Dak watch. Talking Dak Prescott and the rest of the NFL when we're joined by Will Brinson from CBSSports.com, meaning you can slide in at 1-800-636-8686. Still looking for your biggest vice. What have you been wrestling with? I know what wrestling means in the juggle. What have you been struggling with during the quarantine? Hit me up on Twitter. It is BW Weber. Straight ahead, we return to college football. Will the SEC find a way, somehow, some way, to be the only conference to play college football this fall?
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
The phone number is iconic, 1-800-636-8686. Emails, RomanHaveATake.com. Open for your dialogue on Twitter. That's B.W. Weber. Just one more guest in our remaining hour and 20 minutes. We'll wrap up the program about an hour from now, talking NFL with Will Brinson from CBSSports.com. A reminder, tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, the women of We Need to Talk break down the impact of canceling youth sports and summer camps. What has that meant to underserved communities? They also sit down with the Atlanta Dream's Renee Montgomery to talk about the return of the WNBA. Catch it on CBS Sports Network. With Will Brinson coming up, we have breaking news from the NFL on the eve of deadline day for teams that have used the franchise tag to work out a long-term contract, but not the one you've been waiting for. We're still on Dak. Watch. No long-term contract between the Cowboys and Dak. Instead, it comes from Kansas City. Defensive standout Chris Jones, 4 years, $85 million. Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting $60 million guaranteed. That's all that matters in the NFL. So think about the, I'm not doing capology, that's dreadful radio, but just the accounting so far in Kansas City and their ability to make the numbers work. Patrick Mahomes on paper, $500 million for 10 years. Not going to really be that contract in full, but it's still a ton of money. What, $140 million guaranteed against injury? Jones just got paid, and he was also talking about directly following the Le'Veon Bell playbook. He said, in fact, he talked to Le'Veon. No long-term contract. He wasn't playing for the tag. He was going to shut it down. That's not going to happen. Next up, Travis Kelce, Kansas City trying to build a dynasty, although if you care about the view from Vegas, and I know every show fully embraces sports gaming now, it's the wave of the future, the Sharpies in Nevada have the Ravens favored to win it all. In fact, Baltimore favored in every single game. No underdog situation in all 16 matchups, including a game, if we're lucky enough to have a football season, between the Chiefs and the Ravens in Baltimore coming up in the fall. Threat of the program has been your biggest vice that you've been dealing with throughout the quarantine. For me, it's having senior moments at the age of 50, not being able to recall the names of people I've worked with now for 4 years. James, don't call me Kennedy Kelly, ran the board the second time I was lucky to fill in for Jim. Somehow, some way, I was in the midst of a rant, forgot JK's last name, and a few of you pointed it out on social media, in addition to my man Adam Hawk picking me up. East Bay Troy tweeting at me, James Kennedy, way better than James Kelly, wore Stassi. I could do the next 10 minutes on Vanderpump Rules, although I don't want to get drawn into cancel culture. That show now way too toxic. Plus, you want to go old school, jump the shark? Is that still a thing? That show, I think, tanked 2 years ago. When they took their talents to the Valley, nobody cared. The whole point of that show was they were young, having a good time out on the town. Now they've become too suburban. Back to sports. Sandoz Shuffle, Tiger documentary, should be a good look for him. Signed, fat losers that buy Hawks golf gear and post it on social media. Well, that's unnecessary.
Fat!
I bought a shirt from Nation Golf and then was accused of sucking up to the executive producer. Can we mention the name or not? I'll keep moving. I'm the fill-in guy. Quality gear, no promo code. I want you to pay full retail. Webs, I agree with Adam Hawks. Tiger take. Eldrick wasn't raised to be a normal human being. At least his dad let him eat a Big Mac. Sincerely, Todd Marinovich.
Happens to us all.
Didn't go Marijuanovich there. SA Sports Hunk. Okay, one more observation on the email front, and then we'll get to college football. And I have a weakness. My biggest vice is placating Geoff and Lincoln, but apparently I have no standards anymore. I've just given up in the quarantine. I know. Don't remind me about the optics on Twitter. B-Web, the email reads, my vice in the pandemic is that I always abandon my wife and kids to golf, which could be considered a silver lining. See what I did there? Regards, my weaknesses are my strengths, guy. at the job interview. I've certainly done that. You know, if I had to think about my biggest flaws, I just care too much about the job. Friday, 5 p.m., that means nothing to me. I have a hard time leaving work at work. Remember when going to work was a thing? I don't think that's coming back for a long time, nor do I think we're going to see college football anytime soon. So, today was supposed to be day two of SEC Media Days, traditionally marking college football is unofficially back. Very quietly, after the undisputed heavyweight champ of college football, the Southeastern Conference, announced, understandably so, the media couldn't get together and throw softball questions at the SEC head coaches, they were going to be held virtually. Well, a week ago, SEC announced no media days at all. They're hitting the pause button. Why? I don't think they want these coaches being peppered with questions they don't have an answer for. Pandemic or no pandemic, these things typically are brutal. Did we really need the prospect, if it was virtually held, of Nick Saban droning on a lousy microphone on a Zoom call about all the reasons we in the media are overrating his Tide? Or how about Mike Leach? Did you hear he likes Pirates? Ooh, shiver me timbers. Lane Kiffin rocking the Ray-Bans virtually because his future's so bright, he's got to wear shades. He's back in the SEC. Well,
I got to go.
That didn't happen. What happened instead yesterday was a meeting of the athletic directors in the SEC, and the takeaway, as expressed by the commissioner, Greg Sankey, was not good. And he talked in terms of the real world that's going to make the decision for him and the athletic directors and the university presidents in the SEC. It's all about safety and health and mortality rates and hospitalizations. So we can get immersed in football because we love it so much, but this is not a sports decision. Sankey said his concern about the college football season being held at all is very high. So where do we stand now with all of these moving parts to try to process? Well, right now I don't need to hear from a college football coach because they don't have any answers that are going to be satisfactory. Candidly, they don't know more than we do. We're all guessing. And when you put these folks in these situations, they don't necessarily color themselves with glory. You had Mike Gundy a couple months ago effectively saying his players had to come back on campus because they were important to the economic recovery of Oklahoma. He said the quiet part out loud. We're making money off these kids who don't get paid. We need them back on campus. Or Jim Harbaugh saying, COVID-19 wasn't caused by football, and there's no expert view that sports is going to make it worse. Factually true, but inane. Thank you, Dr. Harbaugh. Why are these coaches talking? Why are former coaches talking? Well, the answer is there are too many shows. We all have time to fill, and we're all looking for content. But somebody picked up the phone and dug up Lou Holtz, who decided to go World War II with his reference, pointing out that this country went to Normandy to liberate France. And I think the link was there was risk on D-Day, so there could be risk playing college football. I didn't follow logically. I think he was trying to make a point there. Lou, apparently forgetting the virus, doesn't wear a uniform. Sending in the Marines isn't going to help. I am rooting openly for the return of not only college football, all of college sports. When I'm not here, my primary job is working as a television play-by-play announcer, calling everything from basketball to water polo. And there's a T in there. If we don't have sports, paying the bills becomes challenging. So I want to take on the notion, and some of it's being pushed out there by the usual suspects, just looking to monetize animosity, that there's a big chunk of us, quote-unquote, in the media, rooting for the virus. Somehow we're reveling in the fact that we're not going to have sports. That's as dumb as the same people trying to play doctor on the radio. Of course we need sports. If we don't have sports, we may not have a living. So where do we stand right now? I think it's going to be region by region. We're here in Southern California. Yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom rolling things back. Gyms, barber shops, indoor restaurants, bars, all shut down again. I have a hard time believing we're going to see any fall sports in the Pac-12. And I think the Big Ten will follow suit. There's a lot of commonality between those conferences, especially with the academic missions of schools like Northwestern and Cal Berkeley and UCLA. But it doesn't mean the SEC isn't going to try to play football. I don't think they're going to be able to because government officials are going to get involved. I know football is, in many parts of the SEC, the most important element of the community. I get it. I want to see it as well. I think the SEC will be the last domino to fall, and it'll be incremental. But when we get to, say, mid-September, we're going to find out there's no college football whatsoever, postponed to the spring. And then there are a variety of issues to tackle when you have spring football. Namely, why would anybody like Trevor Lawrence play those spring games, jeopardizing their professional future and the ability to actually get paid? 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up with your vices on Twitter. It's BW Weber. Final hour coming up. We'll tip it off talking NBA. Will this be the summer of Giannis in the bubble? You're in the jungle on a Tuesday. Weber and Ferome on CBS Sports Radio.